All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, opening week of training camp edition, and we are back and we are ready to go, folks. They're on the practice field, although not actually today because it's an off day for the players, but you know what I mean. They've been on the practice field the past few days. They're going to continue to be on the practice field. Still a little ways off from the first preseason game, but not that much. And in the meantime, real actual football is taking place right in the center of Tampa each and every day as our reigning Super Bowl champions go ahead and get ready for the 2021 NFL season. So thank you for joining us. It is great to be back here on the show. Thanks to the Joes for hosting me on the greatest place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, whatever, for Bucks coverage, JoeBucksFan.com. And we've got a lot to get to today. I'm recording this on Thursday, which is the 29th. The team is actually off today, which is good. They're mixing in some off days and just trying to keep things, you know, a little bit fresh. It's been real hot, which it always is at training camp. And yet everything's been going pretty well. It doesn't sound like there's been any major injuries. There's been some maintenance days and things like that. Guys in, guys out, but nothing too drastic, and everybody looks good. And it's always nice when you have training camp with all 22 of your starters returning from a team that was able to win a world championship. So we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about some of the things going on around camp. We will talk about, didn't have a show last week because I was out, but we have a few things that happened last week I want to get to as well. So plenty going on. And like I always tell you, love hearing from you. So if you ever want to get in touch with me or get in touch with the show, it's very easy to do. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BOBBYGAMEDAY @yahoo.com. And on Twitter, same thing. You can find me at Bobby Game Day. The free stretch, like it always is, brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Check them out at the website if you want to first. BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E is how they spell it. And if you go to BillCurryFord.com, you'll see all the inventory. You'll see the haggle-free pricing. It's all right there, completely transparent. And if you want to stay where you are, whether it's at your office or your home or wherever, they'll bring a car to you to test drive. They'll just deliver it right to your door. And you can do that. And if you buy something, same thing. They'll bring it right to you. If you already have a car, by the way, from Bill Curry Ford, and you need service, they will come to you and do that too. But of course, if you can, I always recommend going to the lot, the big place, right on Dale Mabry Highway, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. It's on the east side of the road, just past Hillsboro there. And you will see every single thing. They've got cars, trucks, vans, brand new, used, pre-owned, all of it. And it's all subject to the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, meaning you buy a car at Bill Curry Ford and you get that warranty following you as long as you still own it. It could be years from now. It's not just like the first year or something. Engine trouble, boom, you're covered at the service center. You know, some sort of issue, you're covered. So to have that peace of mind coming along with a high quality vehicle is something you don't get anywhere else. And it's something that, along with the car itself, is just really good to have. So check them out. Like I said, mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to them for always backing the free stretch. I'll tell you what, you know, I have not, you know, like training camp happens every year. I've been thinking a lot about training camp actually this week, just past training camps, because I've been going over to my kid's soccer camp. He's in soccer camp at the University of Tampa at Pepin Rude Stadium, where the Bucks' original training camps were back in the day, and all the way through Disney and now. And, you know, training camp, any year, it's obviously something that is kind of, you know, you're happy there's any football whatsoever. So, hey, like, there's been nothing for all this time. Now there's something. But it's kind of the doldrums. Players obviously don't care for it too much. I mean, who wants to just practice and practice and practice? You know, you want the rhythms of the week where you have a game week and a practice on maybe a walkthrough day, a couple real practice days, and then you travel, whatever. You know, but this is just practice, day after day of practice. The days of the week all blend together. It can be tough. It's obviously a little easier to have some bounce in your step when you are the defending Super Bowl champions. But, you know, I was thinking about, like, when I dropped my kid off at how much different things are now with training camp and how it's evolved. Because I, like I said, took my kid every day this week, I've been doing it, over to University of Tampa where he's got soccer camp. And for those of you that have been around the Bucks, like if you've been a Bucks fan for a long time or if you've been around Tampa for a long time, you probably remember those days when the Bucks had practices over at University of Tampa And Pepinrud Stadium right there on North Boulevard. I mean, it's the same now. They've renovated like the grandstand. It's like a new grandstand, but it's on the exact same spot as the old grandstand. The track, the field, that's all the same. And when I dropped my kid off the other day, I let him go in, and then I kind of hung around for a few minutes, and I just walked over there onto the track, and I kind of stood by the field, and I stood in the exact same spot. I mean, I remember it, like just standing there. And back in the day, the grandstand used to go all the way to the ground. Now it's kind of elevated. And then there's this little like 2-foot-high wall, and then the track was on the other side in the field. And I would just sit there on that wall. Nobody cared. You could do whatever you wanted back then. There was, you know, it wasn't like people try to tell you you can't be here. It was completely free, completely open to the public. And I think back on that, and none of those seasons that followed those training camps were remarkable in any way except for just the avalanche of losing that took place over those decades. But yet I look back really, really fondly on those days. And I guess it's just because, you know, you're really formidable when you're a kid. And I remember so clearly, like every summer, I didn't go to every cat practice, but every summer, at least 2 or 3 times, I'd go with my mom or my dad or some, you know, we'd always go to training camp a few times. And it was great. Like, it was just, it felt so raw and pure and uncut and natural. And just, you know, come in, pull. Sometimes you might not even be planning to. You might just be driving down North Boulevard if you were in South Tampa or heading towards South Tampa. And let me pull over and just, you know, watch a couple drills real quick. And, you know, they were always out there, especially with Ray Perkins. He had 3-a-days in training camp. But, you know, back then they had 2-a-days a lot more often, too. And then they went to Orlando, which kind of sucked. And I was in the media. That was when I first started doing radio. So I actually had to, like, drive my ass over to Orlando. Everybody did. Everybody in the local media had to drive over there. The Bucks, like, they'd be loading up, like, dumbbells and stuff into the moving vans. It seems so silly. Like, why would you move all that stuff just to go have practice when you have a place right here? And I know the old one, Buck Place, wasn't much, but the new facility, you know, I think they were in that facility and still going to Orlando, if I remember, if that overlapped. I could be wrong on that, though. And then finally they said, hey, let's just have training camp at our facility. And so now it's, you know, it's not that much different. Practice is practice. But training camp used to be a more of a, and a few teams still do it. There's not many holdovers left, but a few teams still do it where they actually pack up, they go stay in college dorms, they go to some faraway place, or even if it's not that far away, they go to some isolated place. And the idea is that, hey, nothing but football. This is 3 weeks or whatever. We're getting away from every other distraction. Just football. Just, you know, togetherness, all that crap, you know, and that's training camp. And so, you know, that was kind of more of a throwback to the old days, but it just makes so much more sense to do it the way they do it now. You know, again, like, I can't imagine moving so many things that you don't have to move when you have everything in place. So one of the unfortunate things, and Joe tweeted this on the Joe Bucks Fan Twitter account, he said there's been kind of a few empty seats. I'm not making this an attendance thing because the attendance is not an issue, but I'm saying they don't let anybody just show up and walk in right now. Now you have to be like a season ticket holder. It's not even a money thing. Like, it'd be one thing if they were trying to monetize it, but I don't think it's still free, but it's for season ticket holders only or it's some special classification that you have to be able to go. And not to nitpick, I mean, the Bucks have done pretty much everything right for, you know, almost 2 years now or 18 months. But, they really need to do. I mean, I would get it if you're trying to dangle something in front of people like, okay, hey, we want people to buy season tickets. Let's say season ticket holders get this perk. That would be one thing, but season tickets are completely sold out, right? Like, there's nothing to dangle now. They've already sold all there is to sell. So I don't see what the harm would have been in maybe letting a few more people just say, hey, we're having practice, it's open, just show up, sit down. I get so many memories of doing that, both as a kid when I was taken there by parents or somebody, and then as I got older, just doing it on my own. And it's, you know, always fun to just hang out in the shade, under the covered seating, of course, and, you know, maybe you run into somebody you know, you talk for a little while, practice is going on, it's real loose and laid back and casual. So anyway, it's been going pretty well so far. Like I said, if you're listening to this, it's probably not Thursday anymore, but as I record today, they were off today. Yesterday, they gave a maintenance day to some veterans like Brady, Gronk, Ryan Jensen, among others, so that gives them 2 days back-to-back where they don't have to practice. And like I said, it's been really hot, and that's every year. And, you know, you have to strike a balance, because I've always firmly believed, even when the Bucks weren't very good, I still, you know, the Bucks had an advantage living in, training in, just being around this type of climate and these type of conditions. And so, you know, you don't want to go too far where you just beat the hell out of them, because the heat can really take it out of you. You know, you want to be used to that. You want to be able to perform in those conditions, yet you don't want to go so far that you just beat guys up, because you still want to be performing at a high level. You can turn it into some sort of endurance test just to stroke yourself off about how tough you are. But when it gets that hot, you're no longer actually performing at a high technical level. You're just enduring. And that's not good training either, you know, just to say how tough you are. Oh, yeah, we had guys dropping, puking in trash cans, and we did it anyway. You know, you need to be precise with a lot of this stuff, and you know, so you don't want to go too far with it. But at the same time, especially the old Bucks, they played a lot of really hot weather games. And it's funny, because I was thinking about it this year, and with the way the Bucks are now, and you know, we always used to look at the schedule every year. Hey, what's the cold weather games? Do we have to worry about any cold weather games? You know, we got one in December in Green Bay. Oh, that could be a problem. Or you'd circle ones. And I did the opposite this year. I was thinking, all right, how important is it to be good in the heat this year, considering the Bucks are in prime time a bunch this year? They got a lot of late games. So I actually looked at the schedule for the first time ever. I've never done this before. And I said, let me find the hot weather games. Like, what are the Bucks going to have to deal with in the hot weather? And is training camp, you know, in these conditions going to help them have that advantage or not? And honestly, they don't really have much. I mean, they've got, from what I could tell, even just potentially, it looks like they've got two, maybe three, truly hot weather games. Because the opener against Dallas, obviously, that's a night game, Thursday night, so don't have to worry about that one. Week two against Atlanta is at home. It's at 4:05 instead of 1, but it's still really hot at 4:05 in September. So that'll be pretty hot, so that's one. Then they're at L.A., covered, not that hot out there anyway. Week four at New England, night game. Week 5, Miami, 1 o'clock. That's October 10th. So October's still pretty hot. 1 o'clock kickoff. That'll be a hot one if you're going to the Dolphins game on October 10th at 1 p.m. Then they go to Philadelphia at night in October. October 24th, they play Chicago at home at 4:25. That could be hot, but it could be a really nice day too. By that time in October, you got a chance that it's not blazing hot. And that's it. Then they're on the road in New Orleans, bye week, and by then you're into November. And does it home games or night anyway? They only really have, like I said, two, maybe three, but maybe not even that, games where the weather is going to be a factor heat-wise. So I don't know. I can go back and look at every other year in Bucks history, but I'd be willing to bet that the average home kickoff temperature and humidity for the 2021 season will be lower than any season in Bucks history. Just going off of the game times and when they're arranged. And I, you know, maybe, like I say, if you go back to the early 2000s, they had some primetime games back then. But even this one, I think I got a feeling is probably going to end up being the lowest. Well, you know, who knows? There's no way to prove it either way. But my point is, in this particular year, yeah, I don't think it actually does matter that much about beating them up in the heat just to toughen them up or whatever, because they don't really have to deal with that much either way. So just get through camp, keep everybody healthy. Haven't had any of those dreaded non-contact ACL, patella type things yet, knock on wood. And Brady, you know, by all accounts, everybody says, you know, obviously it's his second year here now, so he's got a little more of a comfort level and knowledge. And, you know, last year, of course, they barely had training camp and they were at Berkeley Prep and doing stuff on their own. So everything seems to be in place and it should be a lot of fun. And speaking of Brady, you know, they had the ring ceremony last week, and we didn't do a show last week, but they had the ring ceremony and got their Super Bowl rings, which every single year, these things, every team feels like they have to outdo all the other teams before them. So they get bigger and they get gaudier and they get more expensive. And the Bucks Super Bowl rings are the first ones, I believe, to be two pieces. Like there's actually a lid that comes off, and inside there's like a little mini diorama of Raymond James Stadium, since they won the Super Bowl at Raymond James. I don't know how many guys have already lost, like, the top part of their ring. But anyway, two pieces seems like it. I wouldn't want to have to, you know, keep track of that. Although I do love the RJS Stadium idea. But anyway, they got their rings, which, by the way, talk about the rings for a second. Okay, because I didn't know some of this. The rings, every year, like I said, they get more expensive. This year's rings supposedly are around, and again, it's not an officially published number, but jewelry people have said they look to appraise around $35,000 each for each ring, give or take. Now, the NFL does give an allowance for each ring, which was, as of a few years ago, $5,000 per ring. It might have gone up, but either way, it doesn't cover what teams actually do. So you're thinking about $35,000 for the rings. They actually have to pay taxes on the ring. The ring is considered a taxable gift from their employer. So, and Darren Revelle tweeted this, each player will have roughly $10,000 deducted from their paycheck as a result of receiving a Super Bowl ring. Now, I don't know how that works. For the players, that's fine, because whatever, they all make tons of money, and even just strictly for the Super Bowl, they made an extra $130,000 for winning the Super Bowl. So at least you could say, okay, well, it comes out of that. They still come out plus. But, you know, they give these rings to people like in the front office and people that work. And, you know, not all of them make a ton of money. So I was wondering how that would work if you're somebody, you know, that works in the front office on the staff and, you know, maybe you still make good money, but like, you know, six figures or something like that. But whatever, I got to pay $10,000 more in taxes now for this ring. Can I get the pared down version where I get taxed maybe $100? But I mean, that's, you know, it's no joke. But apparently, it comes straight out of their paycheck for $10,000, and hopefully, everybody's happy with that. It was really cool, though. They had the ceremony, and you know, they all get up and talk, and Tom Brady gave a speech. And I really enjoyed, I mean, his speech was 7 minutes long. You can watch it if you, you know, go on Twitter or search it on Google. And he really gave a nice speech and, he, you know, mentioned so many people. I mean, I think he mentioned almost the entire team and front office by name and went back through some other people too. But he had something to say at the end, which I thought was really cool. I wanted to play here on the show. This is Tom Brady last week at the Buccaneers ring ceremony. And this is how he closed out the speech.
We had an equipment manager at Michigan. You know, he had a lot of Big Ten championship rings, and he would always say to the freshmen who'd come into the freshman locker room, and this is a note to all of us because we're about to embark on a totally different journey. He would always come in, and he had 30-some-odd championship rings from the Big Ten, and he would say, you know what, men? And I've been very fortunate to be a part of championship teams, and this one's one of them. This is a championship team. He said, you know what ring is my favorite one? My favorite ring. The next one. That's what it's all about. Love you guys, man. Love you. Proud of you. Let's go.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, and you know, there's been a lot of talk, like, I know the Bucks said they had been talking about this as far as, like, the whole idea of being the defending champions. And that's something that you hear used a lot in sports, the defending champions. And it really isn't true at all. You don't have to. That's the beauty of winning a championship. Once that final gun goes off, it's over. You're done. You don't have to defend anything. Like, you won it. The beauty of championships is that championships are forever. And like my old coach Dom Sio used to say, like, they can never take it away from you. Like, yeah, I know you say, oh, what about NCAA probation? No, you win a championship, you won it. That's it. You know, you're not defending anything the next year. The next year, you're trying to win a new one. But you're not defending the championship you already won. You already won that. Like that, once those clocks hit zero, that's it. There's a reason everybody runs on the field and they're throwing their helmets in the air and you got guys down on their knees crying. That's because they won it. Like they got it for the rest of their life. They got it. You don't have to defend a championship. Now, you want to say reigning champions, that maybe is more accurate. But the Bucs have talked about that. We're not defending a championship. We're going after another one. And Brady's speech, obviously, you get goosebumps, you get all fired up. That doesn't mean they're going to win it. You know, there's a bunch of teams giving speeches to each other about how they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, too. But I do like the mentality, and there's a reason, you know, aside from his talent, that Tom Brady has been so good for so long, and his leadership, you know, and something like that. I like how, yeah, hey, this was really cool and everything, but we're not going to just sit here all year and just pat ourselves on the back about how we won the Super Bowl, we'll try and do it again. And they may not. They probably won't. I mean, the odds are against any individual team winning it. But they got a chance, and they're not. They all got all their guys back, and they're going to have a hell of a time trying to do it. And we're going to have a hell of a time watching them try to do it. So it was really cool to see that. And it seems like, if nothing else, the team's in the right frame of mind. Everything's in the right place as we embark on the new season. And, of course, every team is optimistic this time of year, but the Bucks truly do have a reason to be. And as far as, well, like, who are their main threats in the NFC? There are always teams, and you don't know who they are until the season happens sometimes, but there are always teams to, you know, come out of nowhere. But then there's the obvious ones, and you may have seen this week that Aaron Rodgers did return to Green Bay. I was actually kind of impressed. I mean, however you feel about Rodgers, if you think he's being a diva, if you think this or that, I was pretty impressed. He got up on the podium and gave a press conference and was really, really candid. Like, he didn't give stock answers or, like, stuff that he wanted to keep behind the scenes. He really laid out, like, his reasons for the way things have gone so far. And, you know, after you hear him say all those things, if you have a chance, I mean, I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but, again, you can find it on Google or on Twitter. But if you listen to everything he talked about, and he talked mainly about, like, not feeling like he had much input on free agents, not feeling like he had much input when a coach was hired, not feeling like they wanted to use him when he offered to help recruit people in free agency. And then, yeah, the Jordan Love thing too, but that was far from the only thing. But he was just really candid about it. And I, you know, at the very least, I give him credit for that because, you know, you always want to hear what these guys have to say, even if you kind of know it's not the real story and you wonder what's going on behind the scenes. And he didn't make you feel like, oh, well, you know, there's all this behind-the-scenes stuff. He made you feel like he was saying exactly what the problem was. So, you know, it sounds like he's going to compartmentalize. Like, it wasn't like a happy ending, like, oh, yeah, I'm great. He was like, yeah, I'm still kind of miffed, you know, but whatever. He's going to go play. And I think he can compartmentalize to the point where he will go out and play his ass off this year. And so that, and Bruce Arians said it at camp this week, makes the Packers an immediate, you know, top two or three threat, just like they were this past season. And by the way, I know how good the Bucks were. But I still, like, of all the games that it's hard to believe, even the Super Bowl with the Chiefs, it's hard. Can you believe they went up to Lambeau and did what they did? Like, I watch highlights of the NFC Championship game, like the Scotty Miller touchdown, and I still can't believe it. Like, I can't believe all that happened. But the Green Bay will be right back there again this year, so they'll be definitely one of the ones the Bucks have to contend with. And as we mentioned, I mean, who knows who else. But there will be others. It will not be easy. And there's always somebody. And these things are so random. I mean, even, you know, you look at the NFC South and the Saints seem weakened. Carolina, Atlanta don't seem like they're there yet. Bucks are a clear favorite in that division. Doesn't mean they'll do it, but they're a clear favorite. But even if they do win the division, and even if they do have conditions much more favorable this year than they did last year, having to go on the road and do all these different things on the road, you know, it still won't be easy. And it's still very much random. There's a lot of randomness to all this that I think a lot of people sometimes don't want to admit to themselves. And, you know, the Bucks came out on the top end this time around. If you play the same playoffs, you know, four times over, you might get four Super Bowl champions. I mean, in the regular season, too. And you know who knows that? I don't, maybe he doesn't know it, but let's say this about Aaron Rodgers. And this is not a criticism, because Aaron Rodgers is, you know, one of the top handful of quarterbacks of all time. But he has one Super Bowl, okay? And I've said it on this show before. Even that Super Bowl, he should thank his lucky stars that he has, because if it weren't for one of the most atrocious offensive pass interference calls I've ever seen against Kellen Winslow Jr. of the Bucks in week 15 of that 2010 season, then Aaron Rodgers never makes the playoffs in the 2010 season, where they went on to win the Super Bowl. The Bucks and Packers finished 10-6 that year, okay? Both of them. And the Packers got in on some tie. It wasn't even the head-to-head. It was like some down-the-line tiebreaker, you know. Just one of those really frustrating, like, you know, felt like just randomness. Okay, you guys get to go. You guys don't. But the Bucks in Week 15 scored a touchdown against the Lions, who weren't even that good. Late in the game, they were tied. Or no, they were down by three, excuse me, I think. And we scored a touchdown. And they called the touchdown back because of offensive pass interference on Kellen Winslow Jr. And it was, I mean, it was a terrible call. It might be on YouTube somewhere if you go check. So we end up kicking a field goal. Game goes to overtime instead of the Bucks. And this is only like less than a minute left. We would have won the game for sure. Instead, they kick a field goal. It goes to overtime. Lions end up winning in overtime. Bucks won in week 16 and 17 to get to 10-6, but needed help. And end up, again, they didn't get in, and the Packers did. Packers and Bucks had the identical 10-6 records. I'm not saying the 2010 Bucks with Josh Freeman and Raheem Morris would have won the Super Bowl, but if that call doesn't get made, that touchdown doesn't get reversed, they're in the playoffs and the Packers aren't. No matter what happens, I know the Packers don't win the Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers is like the big story in all of football the past 10 years would have been Aaron Rodgers trying to get his Super Bowl that he's never gotten. He would have been like Marino, if not for that one call. And it's actually one of the reasons I love football. Like I've told you guys before, like there's all kinds of reasons I love football. But one of the reasons I love it is because there aren't that many games and every single play can affect the entire season. Like every single trip into the red zone, whether you kick a field goal or you score, like that could make a difference in that game. And that one game could, in fact, I mean, the entire NFL, not just 2010 season, but NFL history turned on a call that I guarantee you nobody remembers except like us Bucks fans. And they don't think, oh, hey, no, the Bucks would have made the playoffs. The Packers would have missed it. Nobody can even remember that, but I remember it. I guarantee you the Joes remember it. You might remember it too. And I'm not saying that to criticize Aaron Rodgers. Again, he's been a phenomenal quarterback, but he's only got one Super Bowl because of that call against the Bucks, or he would have had none. And Josh Freeman, who knows how that would have turned franchise history around too. What if the Bucks make the playoffs that year? And then, like, let's say they win a playoff game, or who knows what they would have done. Like I said, I don't think they would have gone that far, but they would have. They were 10-6, and they should have been 11-5. And what if Josh Freeman and Ra have some success, and you know maybe he sticks around longer? Freeman, I'm talking about. Maybe Ra sticks around longer than the succession of coaches we hire behind them. It's like going back in time. It's like the butterfly effect. It boggles the mind to think about these things sometimes. And obviously everything in life happens, and it happens one time, and that's it. You can't go back and replay it under other scenarios. But of all the what-ifs in, like, Bucks history, that's one, and not just Bucks history, but NFL history, that's one I wonder about quite a bit. But as far as this year, I mean, it feels like Super Bowl or bust this year for the Packers and for Rodgers, and, you know, I don't know what happens this year, if it makes him more comfortable staying or if he just leaves after this year. But he's back. NFC, you know, that they're a main contender aside from the Bucks. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it really is going to be a lot of fun. We do have the 17th game, so we've got all this football, and it's all laid out in front of us, and we'll see how it all unfolds. But until then, oh, and speaking of the schedule I mentioned earlier, the fridge schedules are going to be going out soon. Got a lot of your emails, okay? Again, if I haven't responded, that doesn't mean I don't have it. I have a folder on Yahoo where all the schedule requests are. And everybody that requested one's going to get one. If you want one, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I type up the fridge schedule every year on a big 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I use color logos. I put everything on there you'd want because I love having a fridge schedule. Like that's, you know, I love walking every time I go to the fridge all season. I got the schedule right there looking right back at me. It's great. So if you want one, I've been telling people, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, and I will send you it. I just email it to you and you print it. And I recommend color printing to really let those logos pop. And it's going to be nice. I'm going to do a nice one this year. I mean, I do it every year really nice, but I'm going to try and jazz it up a little bit this year. So if you want one of those, let me know. Another thing I wanted to mention, and this is me just wanting to mention this. This is not like a sponsorship thing or anything. Next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, August 7th, it's the Back to School Bash at Raymond James Stadium. This is put on by Titus O'Neil, WWE wrestler in Real Nut Life. You may know him as Thaddeus Bullard. If you're a Florida Gator, you remember him. He was at UF when I was there and team captain there on defense and went on to a wrestling career. And now he's known as Titus O'Neil. But he's been doing things around the community in Tampa Bay for years now. And he's done tons. But this event that he does is really cool. And this is a whole event at Raymond James Stadium. It's free. You just walk in. It'll be people on the field, people in the stands. They're going to have physicals for the kids. If you're going to be playing sports or you just need an entry physical, they're doing them there. Dental cleanings, sealants, x-rays, they're doing them there. This is all free, okay? Eye exams, glasses, they're doing it there. Haircuts, they're doing it there. 30,000 backpacks filled with school supplies are going to be handed out, okay? And All the food, all that stuff will be there. Flo Rida is going to be there, the rapper, who's a great guy by all accounts. All this is free. You just go to Raymond James Stadium. And, like, again, Titus O'Neil's done so many different things. I mean, I could go on forever about the stuff he does in the community. But this is a really cool event. It had to be done virtually last year because of COVID. It's back to an in-person event this year. Next Saturday, August 7th, starts at 9:01 a.m., goes till noon. I'm not sure why the 01, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Check it out if you're, you know, and again, I'm just doing this because I think it's a thing that needs to be publicized as much as possible because it's such a great thing. I didn't get, like, anybody asking me to mention it on the show, but I get the emails from the school districts. My kid's in the school district. So I thought, hey, I need to just broadcast this a little bit. Check it out if you have a kid who's school-aged and there's just a lot that's being done. It's going to be a lot of fun on August 7th. And you get to go see the stadium, too, if you haven't been to the stadium in a while. I know a lot of people probably haven't since last year. I just drive down Dale Mabry sometimes, just on my way to whatever, and I go by the stadium. I'm like nodding my head in my car. I'm like popping my fist. I'm like, yeah, man, August, baby, we'll be in there. Everybody's going to be in there. And that's just the preseason games. Just really exciting. So, folks, we're back, and we're back to weekly, okay? No more messing around now that there's training camp and players on the field. No more weeks off or anything like that. Don't worry. We are back, and we are ready to go. It's going to be a ton of fun. So I will be back next week. Until then, have a great weekend. You know, we're getting, like I've been telling you, we're getting closer. Start getting things done if you got projects. You don't have to worry about any of this once footballs get kicked in the air. And then it's on, okay? So get all that done. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Again, email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com if you want a fridge schedule or for any other reason. Follow me on Twitter if you want, @bobbygameday. That is your opening week of training camp edition of the Free Stretch. And thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for taking care of me and letting me be on this platform, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks!